morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, the dictionary defines the word perspective in this way. It's a particular attitude or way of regarding something. It's a point of view. I learned early in my Christian life a great definition for the word wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Hey, let me ask you, are you wise? Do you see life from God's perspective? In our world today, anytime you look at the news, if you go on Fox News or one of the more conservative news sources, you go on Twitter and look, you listen to American Family Radio and you find out what's going on in the world, it is very easy to get fearful. It's very easy to say, oh no, everything is falling apart. Now, lots of us don't live in big cities where so much of the lunacy is taking place. We live out maybe in smaller towns, and smaller towns tend to be more conservative. And so we're not experiencing this necessarily firsthand. But hey, just like the old commercials, coming to a theater near you, this stuff is spreading like cancer. All the lunacy from the left and the woke ideology that is spreading. I just saw today in the news that in New York City, they're forcing all their city employees to go through an indoctrination program on inclusion and diversity and all those all that gender ideology stuff. And whether you like it or not, it's going to be crammed down your throat. I have a good friend of mine, Mike Lurch, who is in the banking business, and he's been on our program before, sharing his testimony. He's been my best friend since seventh grade. Mike said that he recently changed jobs because he just wanted to get out of corporate America, out of corporate banking. He went with a smaller independent, and he said, I don't have to deal with all the indoctrination day after day after day. You know, as we live in this world as believers, we have to keep perspective. If you lose perspective, you will lose your joy. You will lose your peace. You will start to get agitated and fearful. You know, Peter in Matthew 14 was doing great walking on the water with Jesus until he took his eyes off the Lord, and seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. We're going to get afraid if we take our eyes off Jesus. We're going to lose our point of view and fail to see that the Lord is in control. All these things that seem to be out of control, the Lord is in control. Psalm 29, verse 10, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. And it is important for God's people to remember this. As Christians, we have been saved out of this world, delivered from death to life. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. He has saved us out of this world, and he has sent us back to this world. We're twice born men living in a world of once born men. Saved us out of this world, sent us back to this world to be a witness to this world. And that's our only business in this world. And we have to constantly remind ourselves, what is my purpose? What does the Lord have me do? You know, we talk about God's will for my life. And that, you know, that's a specific thing. What does he specifically want me to do? Where does he want me to work? Where does he want me to live? Where does he want me to serve? What does he have for me? And if you step back and look at the bigger picture, okay, as a Christian, I'm in the Lord's army. Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And once I am saved And once I repent and believe, I am saved, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, I am a twice-born person living in a world of once-born people, and I am in the Lord's army. I have to, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God so I can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And I remember what I'm here for. Just like a soldier in war, he remembers, this is what I'm here for. And it's not going to be easy. And no soldier goes into battle thinking this is going to be a breeze. They know it's going to be tough. The enemy is out there, and the enemy wants to kill them. Your adversary, 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So we put on the full armor of God and we go to battle every day in this world against the enemy, the devil, and knowing that people are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. People are the mission field. And what are we to do as the Lord's witness? Well, we're to, as we say on this program all the time, we're to shine. What does it mean to shine? Matthew 5, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Don't put it under a bushel basket. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shining comes from the way we live. And I refer to this scripture a lot because I think 1 John 1 is so critical, especially for today. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. To shine means you walk in the light. You're dealing with sin in your life. You're not giving sin a safe haven in the dark recesses of your heart. You're bringing everything out into the light. And hey, you struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, all those things that are in the world, all those things the enemy uses to try and trip us up. You never get to the place in your Christian life where, yeah, I'm not tempted by anything. I've arrived. I never sin anymore. So we're always on guard. We always do battle until the Lord takes us home. But we shine. We walk in the light. We deal with sin in our lives, and we're not letting sin foul and fester. That's the shine part for our witness. And then there's the share. And the share is what comes out of your mouth. The share is putting your faith into words and talking to people about what the Lord has done for you. I always think of the Gadarene demoniac, Matthew chapter 5, or Mark chapter 5, where he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus had just changed this guy's life who had the legion of demons. And he said, please let me go with you. And the Lord said, no. But go home to your people and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And that man went everywhere telling everybody in the 10 cities, the Decapolis, the 10 Gentile cities on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, what Jesus had done for him, because Jesus is Lord. Know that the Lord himself is God, Psalm 100. What Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Well, that is being a witness. That is shining. You tell people what Jesus did for you, but it doesn't stop there. It's not just your personal testimony. You also share with them what Jesus can do for them. You share the gospel with them. You let them know that Jesus died for their sins, and Jesus rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that if they will turn from sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus, they too can be saved. So we shine, we share, and when we share what great things the Lord has done for us. We share the good news of the gospel. And then the third piece, we warn people. Now, this is something that many of us aren't doing. We don't warn people. I talked yesterday about the watchman on the wall at our church, First Baptist Texarkana. I called the sermon, The Watchman on the Wall, from Ezekiel 33. And it was a very familiar analogy that God gave the people. You know, they knew about the city walls. All the cities had walls, and you had to have a guard on the wall, a watchman, so to speak, on the wall. And he is there looking out to make sure that nobody is coming, no danger is coming. And if danger is coming, if an enemy's coming, he sees them from afar, and he blows the trumpet, ram's horn, shofar. He blows the trumpet to alert the city. You know, it's kind of like in Star Trek, red alert. And when Captain Kirk would call for red alert, everybody, it would beep out through the ship, and everybody would know, hey, we are under attack. Red alert. And so that's what the watchman on the wall did. He warned the people. And God said, Ezekiel, you're the watchman on the wall for Israel. And if you hear a word from my mouth, you share that with the people. You warn them. And if you don't warn them, and the enemy comes and they are taken away, then it's on you, pal. That's a Jeff Shreve paraphrase. God didn't say it quite like that. But his blood I will require at your hands, because you saw the danger coming and you didn't warn. Now, we are called to shine and share, to share a testimony, to share the gospel, and to warn people. You know, it's not one of these things where you can just say to people, well, okay, you don't want to believe, that's fine. It's not fine. I mean, you can't make people believe, but it's not fine. And we need to let people know there are consequences to this decision. Years ago, I heard a sermon by Dr. Adrian Rogers, and he said he was witnessing to this young girl and sharing the gospel with her. It's actually two girls. One girl said yes, that she wanted to trust Christ, but the other girl was saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make a decision. And she was trying to remain neutral, kind of like Pontius Pilate. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. See to it. I'm going to pour water from a basin and show you that my hands are clean. He tried to remain neutral. You can't remain neutral when it comes to Jesus. What will I do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? That's from the song from A.B. Simpson. And so Adrian was witnessing to this girl, and she wouldn't make a decision. So he said, okay. He said, well, as we part ways, will you shake my hand? And she said, sure. And he said, okay, if you want Jesus and the gospel and eternal life, shake my right hand. But if you want the devil and hell, shake my left hand. And she looked at him, and she said, what? He said, if you want Jesus and the gospel and eternal life in heaven, shake my right hand. If you want the devil in hell and separation from God forever, shake my left hand. She said, I'm not going to shake any of your hands. I'm just going to try and remain neutral. But see, here's the thing. You can't remain neutral. My friend Tim Lee, evangelist Tim Lee, he says this when he preaches. Listen, you don't have to go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here on earth. You're going to go in one of two places. And the job of a good witness, the job of a watchman on the wall, is to warn people. Do you remember in Luke chapter 16 where the Lord tells the story about Lazarus and the rich man? And the rich man, he wakes up in hell and he's in agony in this flame. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. And get him to warn them of this place, to warn them. Hey, people need to be warned. They need to be told that judgment is coming. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. But Jesus isn't a nicety, he's a necessity. And unless we receive Christ, as Jesus said himself, unless you repent, Luke 13:3, you will all likewise perish. And then he says in Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He says it twice in three verses. Listen, we have to repent and believe the gospel and give our hearts and lives to Jesus. And when we do, we pass out of death into life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are right up against a break, but we're going to come back, so don't go away.
American Family Radio listening family, this is Bible League International, and we've spent the last few weeks telling you about persecuted believers praying for Bibles to be able to endure and persevere in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We told you about Pastor Roussis, whose three sons were murdered by a terrorist group that hates Christians, but rather than retaliate with violence, they invited these people to learn about Jesus. 200 have come to Christ. They need Bibles in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And in the Middle East, Pastor Yusuf and a deacon in his church were kidnapped in broad daylight. When the family could not pay the ransom, they kill the deacon, they torture Pastor Yusuf, but with conviction today, that brother can say, it's an honor to suffer for the Lord. AFR listeners, you've given so generously in recent weeks so that 9,000 Bibleist persecuted believers now have a Bible. Our goal is 16,000. So in this season of giving, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Mom is a face washer, a coupon clipper, and a listening ear. She's a diaper changer, a laundry folder, and a mender of hearts. She's a master juggler of the jobs of the day. She's simply incredible and incredibly busy. At 1 Million Moms, we understand the hurried pace of the average mom. That's why we've made it so easy for you to take a stand against the trash that's in today's media. Visit 1millionmoms.com.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Here's Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope.
The fastest growing crime in America and across the world is sex trafficking. We're talking about millions of lives, even children. Did you know the average age of a child who's trafficked in America is 12 years old? 8 Days of Hope has decided to be a part of the solution with the body of Christ around the country. It's amazing to think that there's 13,000 animal shelters in our country, and that's a good thing, but there's less than 1,000 safe places for people who've been rescued from sex trafficking to go to. I know it's not a fun subject to talk about, but God has called the church to take its blinders off and end this human tragedy. At 8 Days of Hope, we're going to partner with an existing ministry, and for 14 days, we'll bring skilled volunteer professionals to renovate, rebuild, or remodel facility so that more can be rescued and receive the emotional, physical, and spiritual help they need. For more information on how you can get involved with our Safe House construction ministry, please email us at safehouse@8daysofhope.com or go to our website, 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking about perspective. It is so important in the day and age in which we live to keep perspective, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And it's very easy for us to get our eyes off Jesus, to get our eyes on problems. You know, the more news you consume, the more you have a tendency, and I have a tendency, to fix our eyes on all the problems, all the crime, as Jenna was talking about crime just a little bit ago in the program before us, and all the corruption. I mean, we are just swimming in a cesspool of corruption in our land. And woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We're doing that all the time. The enemy is pushing a narrative that is false, that substitutes bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, that substitutes darkness for light and light for darkness. And we're living in an upside-down world. How do we live in this upside-down world? How do we raise kids in an upside-down world? You start getting your eyes, as Peter did, as we said in the first segment, on the wind and the waves, and you take them off Jesus, and you're going to start to sink. You're going to start to be afraid. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The Lord is in charge. And so Psalm 46, a great psalm, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains sink into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and no matter what is happening around us, we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And Psalm 46, verse 10, such a key verse of Scripture, cease striving, let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And you've heard me say before, and it's very important to remind yourself of this truth, nothing comes into your life or my life until it first filters through God's fingers of love. Because God is love. God loves us. Truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting. 2 Chronicles 7:3. And so we can trust God no matter what. We can say with Job, and when the bottom dropped out of Job's life, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, because God is my refuge and strength, and he is the one I trust. Now, how do you deal when you have perspective and you see life from God's viewpoint? That helps you and helps me to deal with heartache and pain and tragedy and physical debilitation, all the things that come into life with emotional trauma, what we have in relationships and marriage and family, those things that really hurt us. How do we deal with that? You know, lots of people, they allow the things that happen to them to skew their view of God and to get in there and mess up how they see God. So bad things happen and they say God must be not a good God, because if he were a good God, my child wouldn't have this handicap and this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened. And it's easy to let your meology, what happens to me, affect your theology, who God is. And you always have to have that reversed. You always have to have solid theology. This is who God is, and I see my circumstances through the lens of the goodness of God. Truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, when you see yourself as a witness, that's my job. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm here to witness, to shine, and to share. That's my only business on this earth. And I'm going to be on this earth as his witness as long as he wants me to be here. And I am living as a Christian. I'm living to hear the Lord say to me, well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And hey, whether you have 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent, you take what the Lord has given you and you use it to the full, and you play the cards you're dealt, so to speak, and you trust God in it, knowing that His grace is sufficient for you, for His power is perfected in weakness, as Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians 12. Lord, I don't want this thorn in the flesh. Whatever that thorn was, it was very significant. And he prayed 3 times concerning this. Lord, take this from me. And God wouldn't do it. He said, no, I'm using that. That's keeping you humble. And as you are humble, then I can shine through you, through the cracks, so to speak, in your character. I can shine through those. And people can see your weakness. In your weakness, then I make you strong. So when you deal with the heartache and pain of life, remember, keep perspective. God's in control. I'm here to witness. And the Lord is going to work all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And He works it out in the end. And we don't understand it right now. And so don't judge a thing too quickly. We do that a lot. You know, it's kind of like if you're cooking. I'm not a cook at all, but my wife is a great cook. You know, you can't taste things when they're half-baked. You need to let them cook out and test and taste the final product. If you taste something before it's made, it doesn't always taste good. You taste all the ingredients in a cake. Some of them taste good as raw ingredients. Others of them don't. And so it's like, wait a minute, you can't taste it like that. You have to wait until the final product. So we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And when tragedy strikes, keep your eyes on Jesus. And people are watching. Remember this. People are watching to see how you respond in a tragedy. You and I, as we name the name of Christ and let it be known that we belong to Jesus, people that don't know Jesus, they're watching to see, is this real? Do you really have a relationship with Jesus? Is it really changing your life? Or is this just some rhetoric that you spout? See, because you can tell not so much about a person by the way they act, although you can tell certain things by the way they act. The real test is how you react. How you react. You know, actors in a play can act a certain way. How do you react? How do you react when people cut you off in traffic? How do you react when the computer dies on you, when you're trying to do something very important and all of a sudden you get a virus that eats everything up or the whole thing just crashes? How do you react when things come into your life that you weren't ready for? You know, how do you react when someone that you love suddenly passes away? When you get that phone call, hey, I have terrible news, but your loved one was killed in a car accident. How do you react with that? You know, life changes on a dime. So we have to look to the Lord and we have to remember, okay, Jesus told me that my number one job is to keep my eyes on him, to trust him no matter what, and to be a witness. And so do I hurt? Yes. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, concerning those who had passed on, we don't grieve as do the rest who have no hope. People that lose loved ones that aren't Christians, well, they grieve, but they don't have any hope. We grieve too, but we have hope. And somebody in our family just passed away last week in distant family, my son-in-law's family, his sister, and we grieve for them. We grieve for his mom and dad. We grieve for Travis. And we grieve for her husband and her two kids, little kids, 4 and 14 months. So we grieve, but we don't grieve as do the rest who have no hope, because we know this dear lady had a relationship with Jesus. She's with the Lord. And so we're going to see her again. And how we respond in faith makes such a difference to a lost and skeptical world. Because they deal with tragedy, they deal with difficulty too, and they don't deal with it well because they don't have a Savior who lives inside who gives them strength. God's grace is not sufficient for them because they haven't availed themselves to it. So perspective is key. We're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, and I'd love to talk to you about this subject, about what God has called us to do, to be a witness in this world, and to shine for sure the way we live. You don't have any credibility as a Christian if you're living in sin, if you're not walking in the light, and then to share, and to open our mouths, and to share what God has done for us, how he saved us, to share the good news of the gospel. Well, this is what the Bible says that Jesus can do for you because he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And then to warn, that piece that often gets left behind, to warn. Ray Comfort does a great job in the way he shares the gospel because he shares, quote unquote, the way of the master, which is through the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is a warning because they have become, Galatians 3, our tutor to lead us to Christ. They show us that we are in trouble. You're not just, a sinner. Oh, okay, I'm not perfect. I get that. No, you're a sinner who is facing a holy God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment, and God will judge. The Old Testament is a record of God's judgment. God's judgment on an unbelieving world and God's judgment on his people who wandered away from him. When you read the Old Testament, it doesn't take you long to read Genesis 6 and 7 that the Lord destroyed the world with a flood, a worldwide flood. 1,656 years into this human existence on the earth, and there came a total destruction of everything other than Noah and Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, eight people, and the animals that were on the ark. That's all that were rescued and saved. And it's not because God was trying to keep people out. It's because people didn't respond. And Noah is called a preacher of righteousness, and no doubt he was warning people, warning them, listen, the flood is coming, and the only ark of safety is this big boat that I'm building, and there's room for you. I love that. I always think of with Noah. I always think of the old song that we used to sing so often in church. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The ark was a huge vessel, and there was room for people to come. And the Lord's arms are open wide. This is a day of grace. And Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And his arms are open wide. And the Bible says all day long, the Lord says, I've stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. You know, you ask the question, when does judgment come? Well, judgment comes when there's nothing else the Lord can do to get people's attention. When people blow him off and blow him off and blow him off, and there's nothing else that he can do, and nobody is going to repent, then judgment comes, because God says, there's nothing more I can do. People refuse to come to me. They refuse to receive me, turn from sin, and turn to me. Well, the phone lines are open. We have Karen on the line from Louisiana. Karen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, and thank you for what you're helping me with today. And my question today for you is, I find it very difficult sometimes to be the warner. And because I've learned that one time I tried to warn somebody, and now I've been taught to pray really that they will have grace to receive that warning, and that I would have grace to say it in the way that they could receive it. But a lot of times, even if you do that, people warning, God is blessing us by correcting us, but the world that hasn't been used to correction doesn't necessarily receive correction anymore like they used to. We used to spank our kids and correct them, and they came up with correction, but now it seems like correction isn't too well received in any way, not by children, not by anybody. So what is that the only way I know to do it is just pray for God's grace, and God's grace is enough. What do you say about that?
Yeah, great question, Karen. Yes, I think we pray. I think we initially warn people, loved ones and friends. We let them know when we share the gospel with them. We let them know this is the way of salvation, and those who receive it receive eternal life, and they don't enter into judgment, but judgment is coming. It's that story that Adrian said, if you want Jesus and eternal life, shake my right hand. If you want the devil and eternal death, shake my left hand. But you're not going to be able to remain neutral. And once we share that, I don't think we're just beating them over the head. You know, the end is near, the end is near, the end is near. I think we share it, and then we pray it in and we keep loving that person and keep looking for opportunities to lift up the Savior and speak a word for the Savior. So I appreciate you calling in, Karen, and I appreciate your heart and desire to be a witness. We're up against a break. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with
Hello,
us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about perspective. Perspective is a particular attitude or way of regarding something. It's a point of view, and wisdom, a great definition, is seeing life from God's perspective. And saying, Lord, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Hey, when things happen in our lives that we don't understand, we pray for wisdom. God, help me to see this from your perspective, so that I can get somewhat of a feel. God doesn't share with us everything, obviously, that he's doing, but somewhat of a feel how the Lord is going to work this together for good and how he's using it. And, you know, Job had more bad things happen to him than have happened to anybody in just a concentrated period of time, where you lose all your children in one fell swoop, 10 children, where you lose all your money in one fell swoop, all your possessions and your flocks and herds, when you lose your health, when your wife, who's brokenhearted too, just says, curse God and die, when your friends all tell you that you are, you're obviously being punished for your sins. I mean, it was just terrible in his life. And he says, the lowest of the low don't cease to spit in my face. He had to get perspective. And it was hard for him to get perspective. He didn't understand. God didn't tell him, hey, Job, there's a battle going on that you're not seeing between me and Satan. And Satan says you're going to curse me to my face if I allow the hedge to come down and all this disaster come upon you. He says you only serve me because I bless you. And if I quit blessing you, you're going to curse me. And so I'm showing him that you're not going to do that. Job wasn't privy to all that. But he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I trust in the goodness of God. I trust in the character of God, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. That is the God we serve. And Job just trusted that God. And I don't understand, but I trust you. We can learn so much from Job to get perspective and to seek God for wisdom so that we can see things from his perspective. I may have shared this a week or two ago about a lady that talked to a pastor. She was very elderly and she couldn't do any more, and she was losing her hearing and losing her eyesight and losing her ability to walk. And she said, I don't understand why God is having me live. I don't know what he wants me to do. I'm in this state where I can't do anything anymore. And he said, well, maybe God doesn't want you to do anything. Maybe he just wants you to be. Maybe he just wants you to be a lady who loves the Lord and trusts the Lord even when she can't do anything anymore. What kind of a strong, powerful witness is that? That the Lord is real. And hey, maybe, you know, in your situation, maybe God is just saying, I just want you to love me and to show to the people that you interact with that you still love me, you still trust me, even though you can't do, that you're not whining and griping and complaining, that you're just trusting me. That's a great, great witness. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about perspective and about trusting God and being his witness, even when life doesn't make sense, which is much of the time for us that life doesn't make sense, but we can trust the Lord because it makes sense to him. And our last caller brought up a great point. And when we talk about being a witness and warning people that they need to, as John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath that is to come, there is a bomb, so to speak, in the building of life for every person. We don't know when that bomb is going to go off, but we know that God is a holy God and judgment is surely coming to this world, just as it came to Noah's world, just as it came to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Judgment is coming here. And so we have to warn people with urgency that they need to flee from the wrath, Matthew 3:7, flee from the wrath that is to come. Here's what the Lord says in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 concerning Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. It says, furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Then, it says, or therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand. Judgment is coming because God is a holy God, and the door of the ark is open, and Jesus' arms are open wide, and we can run to him and we can flee from the wrath that is to come and be safe and secure in the arms of the Savior. Well, we have Brenda on the line from Ohio. Brenda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I surely enjoy your programs, all of them.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, when I was in college long ago, I was a brand new freshman, only 17 for about 5 months, and a chaplain came up to me and said, "We need you to be our chaplain for this girls' dorm." And I go, "I'm just a greenhorn freshman. I don't know what that means." He said, "Well, we're not going to have the popularity contest anymore or the seniority contest anymore. We need someone who shows the Shekinah of God, who walks a different talk from the modern society." That really blew me away. So I'm just curious, what would you consider to be, is that like Moses on Mount Sinai? What?
How? Yeah.
I know it's totally different. I'm not saying that's comparable. That's just an idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good question. That's a strange way that guy worded that. But, you know, when you talk about the word Shekinah is not in the Bible, but the description of it is, and that is the glory of God. Moses experienced that glory of God. I think what that person was saying was, we want somebody that really walks in the presence of the Lord and has a true relationship with Him. They're really walking in the light. And you know, Brenda, it says of Moses, you know, when he would talk to God, his face would glow because he was in the presence of the Lord. And we can have that too, in a sense, where people recognize us. It says of the apostles, they recognize them as having been with Jesus. And the more time we spend with the Lord, and as we yield ourselves to Him, and as we say, "Not my will, but yours be done," people notice, they recognize, man, you act and react like Jesus. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him, I smell that in your life. I see that in your life. And I think that's probably along the lines of what that guy was asking about.
At that time in my life, I had been in college starting in June of 77, and I was dating a young guy that wasn't a Christian, and suddenly the Lord's conviction came upon me. I'd been a Christian for 5 years but had not grown at all, and the Lord said, "Walk with me," and I just dropped everything to do with the world and just started pursuing the Bible and the truth and joining in prayer groups. I just so hungered for His truth, to walk in His way. And then, of course, it probably didn't help that my hair was pure white because I'm part albino, but it seemed like wherever I went, I got teased for being, "Are you trying to be the Shekinah of God?" And what in the world are you talking about? I just want to show Jesus. I just want Jesus to be seen, because I was sharing the gospel with whomever I walked with, because I wanted them to know the wondrous things of Jesus.
Amen.
So I became a chaplain for 5 years at that place, and God was able to work through me to help disciple people and lead people to the Lord. It was an exciting, transformative time. It truly did change my whole perspective, because I had lived my previous 17 years without a Christian environment. So, yes, it changes your whole perspective in life.
How cool. So where are you today, Brenda? What are you doing
in
Ohio?
Oh, I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and I'm like that old lady you said before. I have had everything taken from me. I've lost my home, my job, my career, my health. I just lost my son last September. I was his full-time caregiver for 5 years until my body broke down. Hmm. And I'm all alone now. I'm going, "What's my purpose here, Lord? What am I supposed to do?" And you hit the spot. He wants me to just be who He wants me to be. And I'm searching for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I'm sorry those things have happened, but I am just blessed by your attitude and your perspective. And Brenda, we will pray for you that God would open the door. His provision would be abundant upon you, and through all of this that He would be glorified. I thank you that it's obvious that you love the Lord and you want to see Him magnified in your life. So may I pray for you right now?
I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
Yes, may
but
I pray
God
for
has
you?
Been glorified because Oh, yes, certainly. I just fought cancer for the last 3 years and overcame COVID without any problems. So God has done miracles in my life.
Amen. Father, we thank you for Brenda, and thank you for her calling in today, and thank you that the program spoke to her heart. And Lord, you know everything going on in her life. You know all the difficulties she's experienced, and I just pray that you'd wrap your arms of love around her. And Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that your grace is sufficient, and in the lowest parts of life, God, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're there with Brenda, and you've used her in the past, and you're going to still use her as long as there's breath in her lungs. Lord, you have a purpose for her life. So I pray for her to just be refreshed, that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord, and that she would just continue to trust you, to continue to grow even through the difficulties, and to see that you're the God of might and miracle. And Lord, you are worthy to be praised and worthy to be trusted. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Brenda. God bless you, my sister. Well, we have Tom on the line from Texas. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thanks, Jeff. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you know, I've heard you talk about James a few times, and I've really been grappling with this for about 10 years. I heard someone say in a Bible study that if you have faith, you will have works. If you don't have works, you don't really have faith. This morning, I heard you speaking about wisdom. And in my research, I'm finding that James is not addressing kingdom entrance. He's concerned with kingdom greatness. And he addresses his audience in many ways as if to be believers and saved souls together with himself, headed for the judgment seat of Christ. And when you brought up this morning the concept of wisdom, it's my understanding that wisdom is applied faith. It's not just knowledge, but applied faith. And James is asking his audience early on, I understand, to seek wisdom from God in order to be able to apply their faith to the point of perfection. And in my view, perfection would be to glorify him who is perfect. In verse 4 and 5, he said, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So what I'm hearing him say here is that if you doubt your faith, you can't work. So if he in turn, in chapter 2, turns that completely around and says, if you don't have works, you should doubt your faith, I'm a little confused. Can you help me with that?
Well, yeah. So if you don't have, if there's no evidence of your faith, chapter 2, if there's no evidence of your faith, you just say, well, I have faith in Christ, but there's no life change. The acid test for Christianity is, well, if the Lord comes in, your life is going to be different. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creation and a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so if you don't have saving, if you don't have any evidence, there's no works in your life, there's no difference in your life, then he's saying you need to check and see if you really have true saving faith. And as far as praying for wisdom, we believe God when we pray that he is going to give it to us. Let him ask in faith without any doubting. We just trust God is a good God. God is a generous God. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to see life from his perspective. He wants us to put his word into practice. Well, we're out of time for today. Tom, thank you for calling in, and thank you for that question. You've been listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.